We're going to be studying about a subject that you, a lot of you already know, and that is the simplicity of salvation. The simplicity of salvation, basically how to be born again. However, I know there's some of you are already born again, so I want you to look at it as a lesson in defending your faith. Amen. You need that. You need that. Even though you're born again, have you ever had anybody ask you, how did that happen? And you know, I mean, what I would usually say is, well, I prayed. That's not good enough for somebody who don't know what we're talking about. Amen? Some of us was raised in a church family. You might have got away from it, but you know, you were born in a Christian home or whatever, and you got some basic understanding of the Word of God, whereas there's a whole lot of people that don't know Genesis from Revelation. They don't know who Jesus is, and you may be here today, or you may be listening to this tape. Well, I want to tell you, that's not bad. That's not bad. There's not degrees of being lost, okay? You're either born again or lost. There's no in between. When you die, when breath leaves your body, that quick, you're going to be in eternity. And there's no turning around. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. In fact, I've told them that if I get in heaven and somebody prays me back down here, they're going to have a trouble on their hands. I want to stay there. Amen? Amen. I've read the last chapters in the book. And in, I believe it's Revelation 21, it describes heaven. And when I get there, I ain't a-coming back. You can believe in this coming back stuff all you want to. You can have it. I wouldn't want to come back here as a king. You know, as anybody. Amen? Well, get your Bibles and look at page 105. Should be John chapter 3. It's a very familiar passage. And by the way, we're reading out the New International Version today. If you want a King James to take with you, we will trade it out. We got both. I just happen to be reading out of this one today. And I'm also going to read a little bit out of the Amplified Version today. So I use a lot of them in my study. And as long as it don't change the Word of God, I can get along with it. Amen? I do not use them all. I'll just put it that way. I do not use all the versions, but some of them I like. Some of them you may not like. Big deal. Amen? Amen. You may like Freightliner better than Peterbilt or Mac or whatever. You know, the point is we got here. Amen. When we get to heaven, at last and finally, we're not going to worry about our denominational differences.
Amen.
Amen.
We all going to be one.
Read along with me there in your Bible. John chapter 3 verse 1 says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a member of Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, which means teacher, you know, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him. Now one thing for sure in verse 2, we realize he was a believer. We're going to get into that a little more. Verse 3, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see, notice the word see, we'll get back to that, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is what?
Born again.
Not a Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or Catholic, but unless he's what?
Born again.
That's what we want to look at.
Amen.
All right? Now, of course, Nicodemus in verse 4 responded like I probably would have. And he was responding strictly from the mind, the flesh. What did he say? He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter the second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God. Now listen, he said first, no one can see. Right? Now he said no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. And notice in your Bible, and I don't know if you have your own or what, that word Spirit is a capital S.
Yes.
That means the Holy Spirit. Born of the Holy Spirit. All of us have a spirit.
Amen.
Matter of fact, there's a whole bunch of spirits in this world today.
Amen.
All of them ain't holy. Pardon the grammar. All right? So it's necessary to be born of the Spirit, said verse 6. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit, capital S, gives birth to spirit, little s. Notice that. Interesting. I almost flunked English in school because I could care less about it. But after I got saved, began to read the Word, it's interesting.
Yes.
It's very interesting to me. The phrases, the past tense, present tense of a statement in the Bible, very important too. Very important. I'll go on. That's another lesson at another time. I can get on my soapbox about that. Verse 7, Jesus again saying, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. He has said this about three times in a short span of time. And number one, he's talking to a very religious man, Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jewish synagogue, it said, right?
Right.
All right, number two, he was also a believer because he said, we know that you're a teacher that comes from God. So he was a believer. That ought to have been good enough. Many, many times on the road and in your life, you're going to run across people and they'll say, I'm a believer. And think that's all right. Well, Satan believes also.
Oh, yes.
We're going to get to that in a minute. The demons believe and tremble in fear.
Amen.
Believing is not quite enough. Now, let's look at verse 3 just a minute longer. The word he said, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. That word see is translated from the word Edon, E-D-O-N. That word means to perceive. In fact, to help us with that, I'm going to read that verse out of the Amplified Bible, and if you'll allow me to do so. It says this, Jesus answered him, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, that unless a person is born again anew from above, he cannot ever see or know or be acquainted with and experience the kingdom of God. Now, how's that for breaking it down? In other words, if you're born again, you're going to have a clue about God. A lot of people say, I believe the Bible's true. Well, are you born again? I read the Word. Are you born again? If they're not born again, and again, I don't care if you're Catholic, Methodist, what flavor, what color, I don't care. Okay? That's not important. But if you're born again, you can understand the Word of God. If you're not born again, you're not going to understand it. You can read it till your eyes fall out, and it'd be a great storybook. It can be a great history book, but you will never grasp the spiritual application of the Word of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God had it written.
Amen.
The Bible says over in 1 Peter, I believe it is. I should have looked that up. I believe it's in 1 Peter. He said it was written by men of old as they were moved along or carried by the Holy Spirit. In other words, they were impressed. You know the story of John writing Revelation, right? He was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. He was actually put out there because they thought he was a little dingy. That's a good time to get used of the Lord when people think you're dingy. That's South Georgia for crazy. I mean, the Bible plainly tells us not to be like the world, so we should be different.
Amen.
Now, I don't mean different in better than anybody else. I was raised in that kind of junk, that legalism, okay? Certain clothes, certain style of hair, certain this, certain that makes you holy. I have never found that in the Bible. One reason, it ain't there. And if you find it, show it to me. I'm from Missouri. You'll have to show me. I'm a little stubborn when it comes to believing the Word of God. I'm going to believe it and it alone. And I want you to do the same thing. That's why I gave you this paper outline to please take it with you with the Bible and study this out more as you go along. And I hope it'll even help you as a born-again Christian. I hope it helps you to explain rebirth to somebody else as you go along. The Bible that you have, the Trucker's Guide, has the plan of salvation spelled out in it. I mean, you can go down 1, 2, 3, 4, and it's right there. That's why we use this Bible. It costs quite a bit more, but that's why we do that. We got an email just yesterday of a person that was in a chapel service. He was given a Bible, And he didn't respond at the chapel service. He got out in his truck and took off. But he found himself in a rest area sobbing. And because the Bible had the plan of salvation spelled out in it, as you can see later in that one, he sat there in that rest area and became a born-again Christian. State trooper come along and saw him crying and said, "Is there anything wrong?" And according to his wife's email we got this morning, he said, "No, in fact, for the first time in many years, everything's right." Ain't God good? Now see, he knew, he was all by himself in the cab of the truck, but he knew what happened. In other words, there had been a change take place. All right? Now, turn to page 85. Luke chapter 13. I got a lot to cover here today, and I hope I can. Praise God. Luke chapter 13. Repentance is absolutely necessary to become born again. You're going to be asked on the road, "How do I become born again?" And again, I mean, some of us have been Christians maybe so long we forgot how we got there. Okay? I mean, we've been serving the Lord a long, long time, but sometime we need to go back to the basics and figure out or learn or relearn how we got there so we can tell somebody else, you know? In other words, just do this, this, and this. And if you run across someone of another religion other than Christianity, and there's a lot of that in trucking today because we're an international-type organization now, so you're going to have to be able to tell someone exactly who Jesus is, Amen. Who God is, who the Holy Spirit is, and how you got to where you're at. You need to be able to do that. You say, "Well, I'm scared I'll make a mistake." Guess what? I almost bet you will. But you know what? That don't hurt. What's really bad is not trying. Hello? The greatest message that's ever been preached or ever could be preached is Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. That's as deep in theology as you need to get. See, you, the greatest, by far, the most effective message is simply sharing what happened to you. Right. As a Christian. How did I get here? You know, like the blind man that was healed, you know, and they kept needling him and driving him and saying, "How did this happen? How did this happen? He was born blind. We've known you and your parents all your life. On and on and on. How? He said, "Listen, I don't know." He said, "The only thing I can tell you for sure is I was blind. Now I see." Amen. He didn't care how it happened. Amen? He didn't care. He said, "Look, you," and this is paraphrasing a little bit. He said, "I don't care how it happened. I can see. For the first time in my life, I can see." When we're born again, for the first time in our life, we'll be able to see spiritually. Amen. And you don't need any kind of degree for that. Because the man that had this book written lives in you. Amen. Same Holy Spirit. Hello? Amen. Same Holy Spirit. Right. All of us have. Amen. Don't tell some people, they think they got a patent on it. But anyway. It's the same Holy Spirit, the third party of the Godhead, right?
Right.
Lives in all of us. So he said in Luke 13, you thought I forgot where I was at, didn't you? Luke 13, 1 says, "Now there were some present at that time who had told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their own sacrifices. Jesus answered," now I'm getting to a point here, but I want to set it out why Jesus said this. "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way?" In other words, there's no big sin, little sin. All right? But look what he said in verse 3. "I tell you no, but unless you" what? Unless you do what? You too will what? There's a thing going on now in the United States, a religious cult. Because anybody teaches anything but the Bible is a cult.
Amen.
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 And they say, because it was brought to me by one of them, it's not necessary to repent of your sins to become a Christian. There's churches teaching that. I'm not talking about people at malls that's wearing funny looking clothes and all. I'm talking about an organizational church is teaching that. One sat right in my office right here and told me that. And I said, well, some people call it confession. He said, neither one. And I quoted him that verse right there, and that was Jesus said that. Joe didn't say that, right? You didn't say that. Our church didn't say that. Jesus said, unless you repent. And look at verse 5, he said it again. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. So repentance, not an apology, but repentance is absolutely essential to become born again. Now, what's the difference in repenting and apologizing? I'm glad you asked. Thank you for asking that. When we get caught doing something, we apologize because we got caught. When we repent, it's because we're sorry we did it. In other words, apologizing, I'm sorry you caught me. My mama used to say, don't you let me catch you doing that again. I thought, I didn't mean for you to catch me that time. That was my slip up. In other words, I wasn't repenting because I knew I was going to do it again. Now, I didn't do anything, really. She just picked on me.
Right.
I was the perfect son.
And you from the South?
Well, like you said, we were all sinners.
But you see, there's a difference in repenting and apologizing. I have drivers come in, and we get to minister to a lot of people around here, and through our 64 chapels, we praise God for all the workers.
Amen.
And sometimes I've had the occasion where somebody come in and we talked about this, usually adultery, got caught up in adultery, and he wanted to pray. And of course, I'm glad. I'm happy to pray. Amen. And about the time I get through praying, he'll look at me and say, would you call my wife and tell her? I said, no. Nope. Because did you apologize to God or have you repented? If you repented, she's going to know it when you talk to her. Without you saying, I just done so and so. She'll know. Because there'll be a change in you.
Amen.
That you don't plan. You don't set it up. You don't fake it. You just be you. And the world will know that there's something happened. Okay? There will be a change when you repent. In fact, Mark 1:15 says, repent and believe the good news. Repent. Repent also means to turn around. The word repent means to do 180 and go the other direction. Amen?
Amen.
So that means we don't do what we used to do. What happens when I become born again? I wrote one down from the Old Testament. You don't have it, so I'll read it to you. For your record, it's on there, though, on your paper. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will change you, God said. But we got to be willing to let him change. Hello? We got to be willing for him to change our life. When we say, Lord, I pray in the morning, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life today. Now, when you say that, you've opened the door, bud.
You sure have.
I've had single drivers. I get a kick out of this. I can do that because I'm already married. See, I don't have to worry about it. They'll say, you know, I really like to find a wife. And I said, okay, let's just ask the Lord to find you one. Well, I don't know about that. She may be ugly. She won't be if God brings her. Amen?
Can I make a comment on that?
Real quick. Quick,
first, you've got to get married to Jesus Christ and put him first in your life, then all else that you desire will
happen. That's right.
That's
good, brother. First, you get married to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that is the most intimate relationship you'll ever know.
Amen.
And we could go into that. I won't have time. Yes, Lord, I won't. Thank you. Jan said she don't mind me chasing rabbits, just wish I'd catch one sometime. 2 Corinthians 5:17 on your paper said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what? He's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Amen?
Amen.
The old is gone. What does that mean? My nature's changing.
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians 6:17, one chapter over, It says, come out from them and be separate. Being in Christ, the question you need to ask, and I think I put it on your page, the question is, are you in Christ? Now, what does that mean? It means what this brother just said, married to Christ.
Amen.
Not no, oh, I believe in God. Well, big deal. Just about everything, every creature on earth believes in God.
Because if he's in you, you're going to let it show.
Come out from among them, it says, and be separate. Being in Christ causes changes.
Hallelujah.
It causes changes in your life. One of the things he had to teach me is how to love somebody. And we were already married, unfortunately. Unfortunately for her. She used to say, you don't love anybody but yourself. And I say, you're right. I'm the only one I can trust. But you know what? When you trust, when you love, you're at the risk of being hurt. And you're going to be hurt sooner or later. I mean, we've been married almost 38 years, and we live in perfect harmony all the time. If you believe that, I got some oceanfront property I'd like to talk to you about. But what we have done is committed ourselves to each other beyond what we feel.
Amen?
Amen. That's the way a born-again Christian is. I don't care where I feel saved or not. Okay? I don't wake up every morning shouting from the rooftop, say, hallelujah, such a beautiful day today. Because sometimes I'm like you. I wake up with this body with the mileage on it. What don't hurt don't work.
Amen.
You know? And sometimes things are going wrong in our life. And sometimes I have to do what this, I was telling this brother yesterday, but see, I've learned a long time ago, when I pray, I don't fake it anymore. Don't get holy with God. And listen, I used to chuckle. Now, some of you are going to get a little upset when I say this, but I'm going to do it anyway, especially on tape. I can hear it coming. Don't pray King James prayers to God. Now, why did I say that? Because you don't talk like that every day. Amen. It does not impress him for you to say all those extra words. Now, what I mean is, I'm not taking away from the King James. I love the Bible. It's a beautiful Bible. But I'm from South Georgia. We don't walk up and say, how art thou? We say, how y'all doing? Now, don't get me wrong. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to change that. Understand what I'm saying. But what I am saying is be natural with God.
Amen.
And with each other. You know what I'm saying? In fact, if you walk up, especially with the way this brother here, I'm going to pick on him. He got a great big long beard for those that's on tape. And I could just imagine, though, when you was walking across there, if we put the right kind of hat on you and a robe on you, and you walk up and say, how art thou to death? You'd be in the funny farm pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with that language. It's just not natural for me. Just like we discussed earlier. Some of y'all don't know how to say y'all. Some don't even eat grits. And I really got a question about you. I don't know how. Don't want to know how either, right?
Oatmeal, please.
Oatmeal. All right, so when we are in Christ, it causes some changes. Now, some changes happen quicker than others. I can't look at you and say, you still have a problem with your language, so you can't be saved. I can't look at you and say, well, you have a problem with lust, so you can't be saved. Because I have victory in that area of my life and you don't, does not necessarily mean that that person is not saved. Now, listen to me carefully. But it also doesn't give us a license to steal.
Amen.
Okay? And please don't use the term around me. Now, if you want to do it by yourself, it's okay, but not around me. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Because you're a born-again child of the Most High God. That's who you are. Every now and then I'll hit myself in the forehead and say, you stupid, and she jumps on me. You're not a stupid. But you know what? The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And also it says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by
Hearing.
Well, fear does too. In fact, Satan duplicated everything God created good. That's why we got all these lyrics and music, hello, in song. He can control us if we're not careful. Having said that, you don't need to be hearing yourself say certain statements about yourself. Okay? Do I sin? Yes. Do you sin? Yes. I can look at you and tell that because you're breathing. Right? My uncle that half raised me on the farm used to say, anybody with a mouth cut this way won't lie, will lie to you. And you find somebody with a mouth this way, they won't lie. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody like that. I was a little naive. He also told me that the cows, we go to the market, he'd tell me the cows from Virginia had shorter legs on one side than he was on the other, called the mountain. I believed it. I'd walk around the sale barn looking for some of them cows. I'm a little gullible there, you know. I finally figured it out. This guy's pulling my leg. All right, turn to page 265. Why? Why is the change necessary? Why should there be change? Page 265 should be 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Why should there be change in my life? Why should I be living different than before? That's right. Are you there? 1 Peter 1, 23. He said, for you have been born again. All right, this is addressing Christians. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, as in the seed of Adam, right? But of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. You've been born again. There should be changes. We get married. There should be changes in our life. Ain't you fixing to get some knots on your head? But no, seriously, we should start considering this other person. We get a chance to talk to people sometime, and Mom was one of them. Her mother, we call her Mom, I do. She had been a widow for a long, long, long time and got married again. Well, somebody like that hadn't had to consider somebody else's feelings for a long time. I mean, you just do what you want to do because you're by yourself. Single people, you know, just do whatever you feel like doing because nobody else involved. But when you get married, men, hello, men.
Amen.
Be a little more considerate amen. Of somebody else. That's thrown in for free. You ladies say amen. But seriously, though, and as a born-again Christian, I'm married to God, to Jesus. I need to be considerate of how I act. I heard a message this morning, one of my favorite Bible teachers on TV while I was getting my coffee. And the title of his message, I wish I'd have ordered the tape, said, Mind Your Own Business. Talking about gossiping. Ooh. None of us do that. I'm sure we're all innocent of that. We'd never do that. But we're not the same anymore. We shouldn't be doing that anymore. Somebody come in here won't talk about another ministry, we shut them down and say, hold it. Hold it, we're not into that. I don't care what they did or didn't do. Hello? I don't see anybody in here God has issued a black robe to and told them you're a judge now. Right? We need to pray for one another. Changes. You're not the same anymore. Ephesians 2:2 is another one that we need to look at if we had time. He said, you used to be under the rule of the... Well, let's read it. I can't quote that. I don't want to misquote that. Ephesians 2:2. I didn't write that down, did I?
No, it's on page 219.
219. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 says, as for you, you were dead. Again, remember my lesson, my English lesson? As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. Notice the past tense. You were dead. And Romans, by the way, says, while we were yet sinners. See, I could go on with that if I wanted to. You're not a sinner anymore. You've become a born-again Christian. However, you still sin and fall short. Now, I'll explain that to you later, if you want me to. I don't throw that out there and make you think a little bit. Especially if you're on tape, you'll have to call me. Because the Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we claim to be without sin, we lie. Amen. Or something to that effect. But sinner, I'll go ahead and tell you, thank you, Lord, we'll do that. A sinner, according to the dictionary, is one who sins habitually, a reprobate. So when you say, I'm just an old sinner, you're saying, I sin all the time. I don't think nothing about it. Reprobate. You're not that, are you? We're born again, child of the Most High God. Living in grace. That's right. We don't get up in the morning planning to sin. I used to be a little mischievous, and I kind of planned things, you know. But God saved me and set me free. We used to be dead in our sins, all right? Look with me. Now, let's look, ask this question. All right, in salvation, what do I have to do to become born again? Turn to Romans 10. You probably know this, page 180 in your Bible. Well, if you got the little Bible, I should say. Romans chapter 10, verses, anybody know?
9 and 10,
that's right. Now, I want you to look at what the Word of God says. And like I say, please take the Bible. If you're on a King James, we'll trade with you, give you that. But please take this page that we printed out for you and study it out. If for no other reason, it will settle you once and for all that you are born again. And two, it'll help you explain it to somebody else, I hope. That's why I wanted to do this. And I was asked to do this message by my pastor, so we're doing that. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and what? Say it again.
Believe in your heart.
That God did what? What will happen?
You will be saved.
In other words, if we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, let me back up. Confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
He's the boss. He's God Almighty. He's the second party in the triune Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And you're going around talking, and you're going to run into this a lot on the road. Now, listen very carefully. You're going to run up with people to say, Jesus, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. But they'll say he is not God the Son. Now, they're out there. And for the tape purposes, I won't name it, but I'll tell you who it is if you want. They will tell you quickly, yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. But see, they take away, they bring him down to a prophet level. Okay? Now, when I say down, because he was the only one that's ever been born without sin. He was conceived in the Virgin Mary, right? By whom? The Holy Spirit, right? So he did not inherit the bloodline from Adam. So we must know and confess with our mouth, Jesus is God, or the Lord, right? Then believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, because if he didn't, then we don't have anything other than other religions have. We got a dead Savior. We got a dead God. But we've been there, and I can tell you, I've been in the tomb and ain't nobody home.
Amen.
Ain't no bones there. Never have been. There's never been a record of any ever found. In fact, you know the story went around right after he rose from the dead that somebody stole it.
Right?
And when he would come out of the tomb, you know the story that the guards were on duty, that their bosses, which you know would have been, they should have been killed for sleeping on the job, right? Even in the military, that's a cardinal rule. You don't go to sleep on guard duty, right? Well, they even paid them to say they went to sleep and somebody stole them out of the tomb. In other words, if that did happen, then you ought to be stoning them to death according to your law. But they were trying to explain away. Well, we know that God raised him from the dead. Amen? Verse 10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. In other words, we believe that. We believe that, basically. So we got to believe, but it says, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Now look at this. Here's another step. Here's another step. Listen how interesting this gets. All right, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he's God the Son. I believe the Bible's true. I believe God raised him from the dead. But he's telling me here that once I confess that and accept him as my Savior, then I need to go tell somebody.
Amen.
That's where this confession is. This is not confessing your sin in verse 10. It's telling somebody else. And I thank God for this email we got. This is that exactly. This guy got saved in the cab of his truck in that rest area somewhere and told the trooper right away.
Amen.
See? He didn't even know he was doing what Romans 10:10 said, probably. But he did that, and we need to do that on the CB for crying out loud. And, of course, I know I'm a bucket mouth. It's easy for me to say that. I can't turn mine off. It just won't go off. In fact, the Lord blessed us with this new motor home last October, and it had one built in. Oh, we praise God for that thing. Man, it's automatic. A big dog, you know. If we'd had to pay for it, no, never mind. I don't even want to think about that. It was a free gift.
Amen.
But it had this little dinky built-in radio. It looked so cute, one piece. I said, I can't deal with this. It won't even get across the interstate on a good day. So we put us a little Connex 33 in there. When I keyed a mic, the brake light flashed, the park brake light flashes in the dash, so it's a little powerful.
You got a kicker, huh?
Well, no, I had to take the kicker off. The kicker would shut it down. Where I got it from, it had 650 watts hooked to it. But anyway, the reason I say that is I don't get on there and preach. I don't key the mic and play gospel music. Please don't do that. But now when somebody uses my Father's name in vain,
then I'm going to stand up.
Hold it. Hold it. You just invited me. Somebody said, who asked you anything? I said, you did. You just used my Father's name.
Amen.
And of course, Leroy Brown always come back, well, where are you at? I love it when they say that. Well, I tell them.
Or if I want to hear preaching, I go to church.
I tell them. I'm in this motorhome with truck stop ministries all over it. And I got Bibles here. I want to give you a tract. I want to give you a Bible. I want to tell you about Jesus. I'll stop anywhere you want to stop, Bubba. Okay?
I'm on your side.
All right. Amen. I get excited about it. Then drop down to verse 13 in Romans 10. What does it say?
Whosoever calls.
Somebody read verse 13 good and loud. Romans 10:13.
For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
For everyone. Everyone. Unless you've done this. No? Unless you've done that. It don't matter. You know what I love to do? I love to tell a prostitute, the drug addict, or whoever we want to mention. There ain't nothing you can do to stop God from loving you.
Amen.
I don't care what you've done or not done. Amen. God loves you.
Amen.
And he loves you just as much as he does Billy Graham or Joe Hunter or anybody else. His love is completely unconditional. We don't understand that because if you hurt me enough, I quit loving you. Because I'm a human and you're human. But God's not that way. I love to tell them, for whosoever, anybody that calls on the name of the Lord, in other words, believes in his heart that God is raising from the dead and confesses that Jesus is Lord, he or she can be saved. No matter what. Let's go on. James 2:19. Just believing it enough, you heard me say that a while ago, I want to show you now. Just believing, that's page 261. Back up. James, what did I say, 219? Just believing isn't enough. And the reason I say that, it says, you believe that there's one God. Good. I want you to get there. I'll give you a minute. Page 2, what did I say, 261? I want to make sure that you know that I didn't come up with this. I don't have to back it up. I didn't write it. Amen?
Amen.
He backs it up. And of course, like I say, I'm somewhat of a bucket mouth, so sometimes they want to kill me. I say, well, pull over and stop. We'll find out if it really works. Because if it don't work, I need to shut up. Amen? Amen. Psalm 91 said they can't do that. All right, James 2:19. Is that what I said?
Yes, sir.
Well, why can't I find it? Oh, there it is. You believe that there is one God. Good. Now, what's the rest of that, though? So believing isn't enough. You believe there's one God, great. The demons believe that. Listen, ain't nobody believes more than Satan.
Amen.
By the way, it doesn't say the devil trembles. I've always heard that. It says demons. Very different.
How do you read the thing out loud so they can hear it on tape so they won't have a Bible
in front of them? I did, didn't I? You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. For those that's listening on tape, I want you to know that when the demon hears the name Jesus, they tremble. When Satan hears the name Jesus uttered verbally, even if somebody says it cussing. Now, this is something the Lord showed me one time. I'll share it with you real quick, help you in your witness maybe. If it don't, just throw it out the door. You've heard people use profanity and use the name Jesus, right? Watch their face sometime when they say that. I love to watch people's eyes. That old, remember that old song, You Can't Hide Your Lying Eyes?
That's it.
Some of you old enough remember that. Say uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
The Eagles. You can't hide your lying eyes. And the reason I say that is I've learned to look at people's eyes. Not body language and all that. That's good. But you look in their eyes and you can see the real person. And they can't hide that. You can't lie there. You can't lie there. And you say, oh, I believe in God. So does Satan. And oh, what I was going to tell you, when they use the word Jesus, thank you, Lord, when they use the word Jesus in their vocabulary, they don't even know that they're speaking the name, listen now, they're speaking the word that scares the one in them half to death. Think about it. Are you saying they're demon-possessed? Not necessarily possessed, but oppressed or led by. Because if you're not led by God, by the Lord, you're led by the devil automatically.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Now imagine that. Satan, let's say Satan's controlling my life by my own choice. He can't do that unless you let him, by the way.
Amen.
Flip Wilson made a fortune saying what?
The devil made me do it.
The devil made me do it. When in fact it was funny, we laughed at it, but it ain't true. The devil can't make you do anything. You choose to do that.
Amen.
I can't help but drink. Yes, you can. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you could do it.
Amen.
Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through who?
Christ.
But see, the problem is us men, I don't know about you ladies, but I know men, we ain't going to ask nobody for no help. Even God. We'll run into the ground, break it off before we'll ask for help. My smart aleck assistant over there in the office, Trish, said that's why they wandered in the desert for 40 years, because they wouldn't ask for directions. We don't ask for help, but we need to. The best thing you can ever do, men, is humble yourself before God.
Amen.
He didn't say humble yourself before men. He said humble yourself before God so He can lift you up. Amen. But you got to give it before you can receive from God.
Amen.
Now, I wish it was the other way around. I tried for years to figure out how to reap without sowing. And guess what? It ain't never going to happen. As I said, I was born and raised in South Georgia, and I've never been able to reap a garden where we didn't plant it. It ain't going to happen. Let's go on. So believing isn't enough. Turn to page 272, close to where you're at. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9.
Father, finding that, honey, you have three people that rule you, God, Satan, or yourself. And
something you wanted to do. That's right. That's right. You ever heard somebody say, something told me? Mm-hmm. We've used that. I have. Have you? Something told me. This voice told me. Well, that's one of those three that Jan mentioned. It's either you, God, or Satan. And if you don't know the Word of God, you're not going to know which one it is.
Amen.
Now, Joe sound like God a lot because I want it to. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
But I got to compare it with the Word of God to see if it is Him. 1 John 1, 9. Are you there? It said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from almost all unrighteousness. That's not what that said? What did it say?
All
unrighteous. A-L-L. He will cleanse us, purify us, that one version says. He will. King James uses the term cleanse there. He will cleanse us or purify us from all unrighteousness. If we do what? Say it. Help me here. If we confess to who? God and Him alone, because He's the only one that can forgive you. Man does not have the ability or the authority to forgive you. In fact, you do something to him or her, be very difficult. They might forgive you, but they ain't going to forget it. I wish we could forget sometime. Amen? The older I get, the more I forget I'm trying to remember, but I remember what I'm trying to forget. Somehow I got my wires backwards. But that's the devil, right? Trying to remind me. Okay, so believing's not enough. Confession of your sins has to happen, right? Remember a while ago we read Jesus said, repent, or you'll perish. Now, you want to know what happened to your sins? If you turn to page 253 right quick, I'll show you. And again, that's Hebrews 8:12, and it's also in Hebrews 10:17, but I want to show you one of them. I've heard about the sea of forgetfulness all my life. Have you ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
That's not in the Bible. Hello? That's not in the Bible. If there was a place called the sea of forgetfulness, then Satan or God or you could go retrieve your sin.
Right.
Satan reminds us all the time of the past. Amen?
Amen.
However, Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will forgive their wickedness and will what?
Remember
their sins no more. God literally forgets you sin. You won't, because Satan's going to make sure you don't, and your friend's going to help you, your so-called friend. Right? Won't let it go. Leave it alone. It's gone. It's past. But what happened to your sins? God forget it. Okay. Becoming born again, I got to get this in here, because becoming born again is only the beginning. Only the beginning. That's the problem with some of us, especially on the road or get in our jobs or get wherever we go. We get born again in a evangelistic service or a church or a chapel or the rest area, whatever. We become born again and then think everything's going to be all right. But you know what? I've never known of a truck to run without fuel.
Amen.
Right? When you become born again, a strange thing happened. One thing that happened is that your sins were removed. We just read that, didn't we? Now, if you can envision your truck that had some kind of dirty fuel in it. It was so contaminated that the truck wouldn't even run. So you get something and pump the tank out, right? Then there's what? There's nothing in there. There's nothing. What do you got to do to get that truck to run? With what? Clean diesel fuel. So what happens when you become born again? The sin is pumped out of you. It's gone. What do we need? The Word of God. The clean fuel from the Word of God. Commentaries are great. I appreciate people listening to our tapes and getting blessed by that. But there's nothing to take the place of personal time with God in the Word. Look at Romans 12, too. I've got to throw this in. One of the things that happened has to happen, page 182, Romans 12, 2, our mind has to be changed. Our mind has to be renewed. And notice something. Again, my little English lesson here, if I can. Romans 12, 2 says this. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, how?
By the renewing of your mind.
Notice that ing suffix there. That indicates an ongoing process. Now, why do we need to do this? You saying I need to get saved every day? No, I didn't say that at all. I didn't say that. But your mind needs to be renewed constantly because Satan is pouring all kind of garbage.
That's what he attacks.
In your mind.
Yes.
From what we hear, the cussing, the filthy jokes, etc., etc., it's recording every bit of that. So we need to have a constant renewal going on. Number two, page 178. Romans 8, page 178. Romans 8, 5 through 8 will tell us that we got two natures going on here. We got a sinful nature that all of us have. Hello? Billy Graham has a sinful nature. Because he's a human being. Nobody ever gets away from that. Then we have what? A renewed spirit. We've already studied that, right? We've got a new spirit in us. But now, both of them are still there. Whichever one basically gets fed the most is which one's going to be the strongest. And that's not the devil. That's not God. That's you and me. My choice alone. Yes, sir.
That's where I've heard that saying when you talk about the heart of stone a while ago, sinner would have a heart of stone.
Right.
And we're changed to a new creation, all but we fight with both flesh.
That's right.
And the temptation.
And Paul tells us that in one of his plays. He said, you know, I'm fighting with this flesh all the time. He said, what I want to do, I don't do, and what I shouldn't do, I find myself doing. Anybody besides me guilty of that? We don't react like we should all the time. Go ahead, honey, say. Hey. Sometimes she said, that wasn't a very reverent look on your face. And I said, that ain't nothing. You ought to know what was in my mind. I had a sticker on the back of my trailer that says, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. That's the last thing you've seen when I run you off the road. No.
I know you are.
Yeah, that was the only Bible they read that day. It was this so-called Christian, right? But no, seriously, though, we do need to walk above reproach, and we can learn to do that. Where are we at? Romans 8, 5 through 8? You read that later. But it'll tell you that basically the flesh has to be starved. What my flesh wants, we got to say no. No. You're not going to get that.
I'm not going to feed you today.
And read the Bible out loud.
Amen.
Romans 10:17, we said, faith cometh by
hearing.
Now listen, one of the greatest lies, trying to think of what to call it, one of the greatest deception lies that Satan can come up with is let you read the Bible silently.
Or pray
silently. Let's have a moment of silence. That don't bother him.
He cheers it on.
Because the spoken word is where the power is.
Amen.
Good, bad, or ugly. Amen.
God spoke and created
good,
the world.
Good or bad, no matter what, the spoken word. So what you, I want you to, I suggest to you, start saying what you need to do. I like to do that. What you need to do, I don't need it, but you do. No, I need it. In fact, I get out and walk and pray. This will help you with your exercise, by the way. Walk around the truck stop where you're at. Pray over the truck stop. Pray over the truck there. If there's a chapel there, pray over it. And if there's not one, pray one in there.
Praise God.
Amen?
Amen.
But then you talk. Now, I'm sure if you watch me, you'll say, yeah, guy's off, you know, we're talking to nobody. But I am talking to somebody. I'm having a two-way conversation with God. If I shut up long enough, and I know you thinking, well, he probably don't ever do that. It is difficult, but I do sometimes. No. Also, when I read the Word, last night as I was studying this again and this morning, I sat down and read all those scriptures out loud because I wanted to hear it first. I need it worse than you do, no doubt. I need to know that I am a born-again child of the Most High God because everything around me would dictate something else. When I mess up, not if, when I mess up, Satan says, yeah, if you was a Christian, you ever heard that little voice? If you was really a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. If you was really a Christian, you know, that's none of his business. The Bible calls him the deceiver and the accuser of the brethren. Constantly accusing. Now, let me close with this idea, or with this question. Are you born again today? Do you know 100% for sure that if you died this second, you'd go to be with Jesus in heaven and live there forever? If you're not 100% sure of that, call the Trucker's Prayer Line listed on this tape and let someone pray for you. God bless you. Thanks for listening.